now my great privilege to introduce a new internationally launched awesome preacher guy. Jimmy is going to share the word with us this morning. Jimmy, kom vorentoe, broer, let's give him a hand. Jimmy is one of the leaders in the church. He's a district leader over the family zone, the family small groups. And he's a good golfer. So he's probably going to preach about golfing this morning. Or cricket. There's hope for the cricket. It's looking good. So we're all feeling good today. Okay, Jimmy. Oor na jou.
Thanks, Andre. Morning, everyone. I would have liked to speak about golf, but Andre already spoke about PGA. And the one about the Masters, so I'm sure you guys have heard more than enough about golf. Andre's right, we had a great party last night at the formal. Luckily, I was there, so I know exactly who was there. So I'll keep an eye on you guys and maybe ask some questions just to make sure you stay awake throughout the message. Can we just pray? Father God, we thank you this morning for who you are, Lord. Thank you that you are a God of love, Lord, a God of grace, Lord. And Lord, you thank that you are here this morning, Lord, and without you here, Lord, this would be a complete waste of time, Lord. But with you here, Lord, we trust for breakthroughs, Lord. We trust that you will speak to our hearts, Lord. And I know this message is from you, Lord, because I'm a simple Afrikaans guy, Lord. And with you, Lord, all things are possible. So I believe you're going to speak to our hearts this morning through the message that you have, Lord. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, can I ask you to turn to John 2, verse 1 to 5, please. It will be on the slides, too, if you don't have your Bible. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." And I was reading this a couple of weeks or a month ago, and a few things just stood out for me that I missed before. And probably the first thing was Mary. Now, Mary came to Jesus and said, "Listen, yeah, we've got a problem. The wine is finished. The people want to party. Help." Yeah. And Jesus said to her, "You know, why do you come and ask me? It's not my time yet, woman." But Mary didn't turn away and say, "Okay, sorry, you know." She said, "Tell the servants, do whatever this man tells you." And for me, it was quite a while to think Mary's faith in Jesus was so strong. And for a couple of reasons, I believe. The first thing is, Mary turned to Jesus for help. She didn't go to Peter or John or whoever and say, "Listen, make us some wine, please." She went to Jesus for a reason, and she knew who Jesus was. It was her son, he was born from her, conceived by the Holy Spirit. She, without a doubt, knew that Jesus is God, and that he can do all things and anything, and everything. So she asked him for help. Obviously, she was confident when she spoke to him. There was no doubt when she asked him. She almost instructed him, "Make us some wine." You know? And then lastly, I think, obviously, she had a relationship with Jesus, a living relationship. She knew him well. She knew what he was capable of. And she knew that she can rely on him for anything and anything that you ask him. She didn't try and make the wine herself. A lot of the times we do that. We've got a problem, we'll solve it. We're holy, we're spiritual. But I can just share a quick story from my life where I've made that mistake of relying on myself. Maybe some of you will remember I shared about giving a couple of weeks ago, and I was a missions team leader at Jeffreys Bay while I was studying at Potchefstroom University. And in my third year, I was asked to be the leader of the team. It was a great privilege. And we had an awesome time to the build-up because it's in the end of the year, but the team gets together in March already. So the whole year you work together, you've got Bible studies week in, week out, you pray a lot, you trust God for finances, for people. And I was in a good place, spiritually, probably the best place in my life. Things were going well. The team was excited for the trip. And then also, part of this, I was in a hostel in Porch, one of the tough hostels, a reputation, a sporting hostel. And I was playing rugby for them and cricket and stuff, and InterVarsity came along. Now, many of you will know students, InterVarsity is quite a big thing. It's where two varsities smash each other in all sports. And we had a big one with Coffsies in Bloom. So off we went to Bloom. It was about September, I think. And I had a good friend that studied at Bloom, and he was at the hostel there in Bloom, and he was a sociable guy. Everyone liked him. He was a likable guy. Everyone always partied with him, and I knew that. And then he invited myself and another friend to his hostel to have a drink with him the Friday night before the games on Saturday. And I was keen, you know. I mean, I'm in a good place spiritually, you know. To me, he's the leader of the team. Nothing will go wrong. Go and have a drink. So we went to the hostel, and he was on a house committee, so he could drink for free. And obviously his friends too. So he gave us first drink and second drink. And so it continued, and we had a good time there. My game for the hostel, we played at 9 o'clock. And the main game, which the whole thing is all about, is at 2 o'clock. So I stayed, myself and my friend stayed with my cousin in Bloom and his wife. So Saturday, Jimmy wakes up at 3 o'clock for the first time. Missing his own game. Missing the main game, missing InterVarsity. Finding myself in a dark place, realizing what just happened. Got drunk. Like I said, I missed everything. And I found myself that morning literally crying before God, saying, Lord, what have I done here? I'm the leader of a team. I must be an example to them. And I go and do this. And you know, the Lord, without condemning me at all, just told me, you know, I'll forgive you. Don't stress about it. You made a mistake. But you know what? You never relied on me. You never asked me to be with you last night. And I must be honest, it was the last thing from my mind to pray and say, Lord, I'm going to this friend. Please be with me. Guide me, Spirit. Lead me. I didn't, because I was in a good place. You know, me, the person, is in a good place. We were on our way to Jeffries to save the world, and that's it. So I learned the hard way to rely on Jesus for everything. I had to go back to my team the Monday, sit them down, humble myself, tell them what happened, ask for their forgiveness and their trust, and thank God they forgave me within seconds. It was cool with them, they understood it was a mistake. I shared the message that I've learned, the lesson. So yeah, Mary relied on Jesus from the beginning. She didn't even try to do it herself like I did. So that's quite amazing. Let's continue in verse 6. Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. They did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now. This, the first of his miraculous signs, Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. You know, and we've all read this passage many times. We all know the first miracle was Jesus making water to wine. But it stood out for me that morning when I was reading this. Was like, you know, Jesus didn't make any wine. He just didn't make the same wine as what they had before. Because Jesus is not average. Jesus is not just your any kind of God. He's almighty. So he's almost decided he's going to make better wine for this wedding. Bless him with good wine. I think we all agree that the same wine would have been a miracle in itself. He could have just made wine, his disciples would have probably still believed in him, and the people could still have a nice party. But our God is not an average God. He made better wine. It stands there, I believe, for a reason that the word best is in there. The poor master of banquet, he was so shocked, he actually went to the groom on his big day and said, listen, what's happening here? Why did you bring your best wine out now? And that's how good this wine was. God is a good God, and he made the best wine here. And that's, for me, just God's character for all of our lives. He always, always wants the best for our lives. He always wants to exceed our needs. If we ask him for something, he always give it to you. maybe at a later stage sometimes, but it'll always give it to you, and maybe even most times it'll be better than what you've asked for. We also read in John 10, verse 10, and Jesus himself is speaking here. Very familiar scripture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. The Amplified Version says, they may have life. Okay, the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance. That means to the full, till it overflows. And again, this is Jesus speaking. This is our God, the one we serve, the living God, that always wants the best for us, always wants more for us. He doesn't just want to fill our needs. He wants to abundantly give us. And I'm not talking about finances only. This is not a prosperity sermon at all. It's in all aspects of our lives. But Jesus always wants the best for us, and only the best for us, if we trust him and if we rely on him. But see, the problem is, friends, that sometimes, and most times, unfortunately, we as Christians, we settle for the water only. Jesus can make us wine, but we settle for the water because we doubt ourselves. Satan, the father of lies, remember, he can only lie to you because he's the father of lies. No good thing can come ever from Satan. He tells us the whole time that we're not worthy of it. You know what, Jimmy? You're actually not good enough for that job, for that, maybe for the, if you're single, you believe you're not good enough for that girl, or the if you're a girl, you're not good enough for the boy, the guy. And it's a lie from Satan, and we believe him. And if he planted the seed of doubt, it's over. You will never accept that you actually can get the best from God while you're doubting yourself, while you're doubting God. And Satan is smiling because he's got you where he wants you to be, doubting God, doubting God's goodness, doubting what he wants for your life. And then you are falling for his plan. But God's plan is different. We all know the scripture in Jeremiah 29:11. God has a good plan for our lives, to prosper us and give us hope and a future. So don't let the enemy come and steal that away with his lies and make you doubt. We need to raise our standard. We need to raise our bar in what we expect from God, what we ask for God. You know, we can ask God for anything. The Word says that in many places. In faith, you can ask God for anything and he'll give it to you. But we need to ask him, we need to rely on him, and raise our standard, you know. Another scripture, Matthew 7, verse 9. Excuse me. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you, then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? This is another classical example of God's heart for us. That he tells us here, you know, your earthly parents and your father will never give you a snake when you're asking for fish. Because he loves you. Andre shared a few weeks ago that he will do anything for Vian, his little boy. He'll even go as far, maybe just to kill if he needs to protect him because he loves him with all his heart. And if we think that's a lot of love, Jesus' love and God's love for us is so much more than that. He sent his only son to bleed himself to death on a piece of wood for each one of us. Because he wants the best for us. He wants to give us second chances in life, new beginnings. It's a simple example. If the parents here, if your children is maybe one day going to study somewhere in Cape Town and they need to travel up and down, you're not going to give them a chore that falling apart. You know, maybe they'll make King Williamstown on a good day. if you actually can afford a better, reliable car, because you want the best for them, you know, but sometimes we settle for the chore and we think that's all we can deserve because we're so bad. But God wants to give us better. Just like our earthly parents would give us a better, reliable, faster car to enjoy the trip. So much more, Jesus and God wants the best for us. So don't settle for any less when you ask God for something. Just the last scripture on this in Luke 15, verse 21. We all know the story about the prodigal son. Now, this is the part where the son returned home after his party days. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. And this is the father. He loved his son so much that even after what happened, his son was a rebel. He went and he asked his money. He was selfish. He went and he partied his money out. We all know the story. Here he comes back, crawling home to his father to work in the garden, I suppose. And his father said, bring the best robe. You know, I don't believe that the son deserved the best robe. I don't even think he deserved anything, to be honest, but that's my opinion. So here he gets to his father, and his father says, wait, quick, bring the best robe. My son is home. You know, kill the fattened calf, not the one standing there and pick the little marred one out. He said, get the fattened one, man. Let's have a party. And that's God's heart. This father is God. And his heart for us is always to give us the best. Always. Never doubt that. Never even think that. I mean, in this instance, many times what happens when we get hurt or offended by people, we lose their trust. We say, you know, they must first earn my trust again. You know, let's build this friendship from scratch. Let's start over. We've got to earn his my trust. You've got to earn it. Now, this son probably also needed to earn his trust with his father, but no. No such thing with God, no such thing with his father. He said, give him the best. Welcome home, son. Let's have a party. And that's exactly how God feels about us. And, you know, nothing you could have done in your life until now can change that. Can change the way God feels about us. He will always want the best for us, his children. Jesus died on the cross so that we can have the best. He died just to give us second chances in life. Because I don't think we deserved it. And the words that come to mind is the song, which is also part of the play, you know, it says, not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. And it's exactly that, you know. We as persons and people, we don't deserve to get the best from God because we sin, we make mistakes daily. But by grace and by the cross and Jesus' love for us, we can have the best. And that's just something we need to, it's a mindset we need to change in our minds. And say, you know what, I deserve the best as God's son. Not because I'm Jimmy or I'm Andre or Dion, but because I'm God's son, I'm a prince, I deserve the best from God, and I can trust him for that. And that's good news, I hope. Some more news, or a different angle, is God's expectation from us. You know, God always wants the best for us, but then I also believe God also wants the best from us as his children. John 15 says, John 15, verse 1 and 2. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. And also when I read this scripture, you know, again, a light bulb went on, and I realized, but it's a bit unfair that the branches who actually bear fruit already must also get pruned, because pruning process, maybe the farmers will know better. You know, you've cut away and you make it look better and it grows better and it bears more fruit. And for me, this just showed again that God wants the best from us. Even if you're maybe bearing fruit at the moment, God wants you to bear more fruit and be more fruitful for his kingdom, not for yourself or for the church only, but for God's kingdom. He wants us to bear more fruit, and that's why in life, and like actually also said, he will prune you in circumstances and whatever may happen for you to be closer to him, maybe love him more and trust him more, and in the end, bear more fruit. You know, only you will know in your heart what you are giving God at the moment. If it's average, is it maybe above average, or is it the best that you can give him in all your life? And I must be, I'm thankful that we don't have a digital number out of 10 flashing above our heads showing what we give God, if it's a 6 or a 5 or a 4 or 8 or a 9. Because, you know, I'll be embarrassed sometimes what we give God in my own life. And he only deserves the best. Again, I can just say for my own life, I'll keep it short. Grew up in a Christian home, went to school all my life, saved. I see myself as a good schoolboy. I never drank any alcohol while at school. Played sport, prefect, all of those things. Then went to varsity. Like I said, I went to the sporting hostel. And soon after the first few cricket games, the seniors liked me. I did quite well and whatever. So then there was this initiation process and fines, meetings afterwards where you almost get forced to drink some, down some wine and beer. Now for me, not being a drinker at all, to down one beer was too much. So this happened, and from then onwards, it became easier to have these fines, meetings with them and be cool, and the guys liked me, like I said. And, you know, although I knew God, and I still knew He existed in my life, I kind of settled for average for quite a while. Throughout my first year, then I would go and have a party on Saturday night, come back to church Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon, evening, and think, life's great, you know. School, I'm a good Christian. I can get mellow or drunk Saturday night, and then Sunday I'm back in church, and it's all cool. But you know what? I was sitting in a sermon on a Sunday in my second year, and a preacher preached about you as a Christian being different to the world. And he said, when you're driving at night, many of us will know this, when you're driving at night and cars pass you with their dims on, I mean, you don't even notice them anymore after driving for an hour or 3 hours. They just come past and you carry on. But as soon as one car comes with its brights on, I think these new cars' lights are all too bright anyway, but and the brights are on. You know, I mean, myself, I can't see properly. I'll flash for them and, you know, and I go mad because I noticed this car. You know, somehow it caught my eye. The lights were on bright, not on dim like the other cars. And this guy said this morning, he said, so what are your lights on? Are you passing through life with your friends being average, unnoticed by people? Would they even know you're a Christian if they didn't know or didn't know you? Or are your lights on bright? Do you make a difference for God? Can people see in your life, in your fruits of your life, that you are a Christian, that you love God and that God loves you? And it was a wake-up call. I felt like I'm sitting all by myself in that hall, and God speaking directly to me about this and stop being average and give Him the best that I could. And there I decided, you know what, enough of this mediocre stuff, enough of this average stuff. God deserves the best from me because He's always given me the best that I ask for from Him. And I decided there and then that I'm recommitting and I'm going to be above average. And then I decided to go on my first mission trip at the end of the second year to Jeffries. It was great. It changed all our lives. And from there onwards, I stayed involved. Obviously, that blubs in bloom that I shared about happened. But, you know, I decided that I'm not going to be average anymore. Just another scripture that, for me, just speaks about what God expects from us. is in Mark 12, from verse 41 to 44. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, this widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. Now, this might be speaking about finances in this passage, but I also believe it's applying to all the other aspects of our lives again. That God expects us to give Him everything, because He gave us everything on the cross. So he asks us to give us our all for Him. You know, that's another story quickly. My brother is a pastor, so I was still at school while he was doing Bible school and getting qualified. So one night they came with a mission trip through Upington. Who was in Upington? Oh, you, Upington. Through Upington, and they had a gathering, and we all went there, and they shared the message, and then the offering came. I sat next to my brother, and yes, I got the front of my life. He put in 200 rand notes in the basket there. And I was at 8, I think. I looked at him, and I thought, he made a mistake. You know, does he even know that he put 200 rand in the basket? It's a lot of money, you know. And I bumped him. I said, do you know you put 200 rand in that basket? And he said, yes. Yes, he wanted to. And for me, it was a bit embarrassing, but it was also a lesson from my brother. That, you know, God deserves the best. But how many times do we treat God as a car guard? Myself, I'm guilty. You stop at church, you realize, oh, do I have any money on me? You check your wallet. Maybe there's a few coins lying around, or put it in a pocket. And you know, but God's not a car guard. God's giving us his best. Maybe it's time for all of us to give him the best. Not just finances again, but in all aspects of our lives. Give God the best, because that's what he deserves. And then, you know, like I said, only we know in our hearts what we're giving God in our personal lives, outside of the church building, behind closed doors, when you have a family alone. And I think it's really this time that we give God the best, because he deserves that. And that's in your time. You know, how much time do you spend with God? In your quiet times? Do you go to church, small groups? Are you involved? You know, if you compare that time that you give to God to the time that you spend in gym, watching sport, playing golf, all the other things, is it really the best? Is it really enough for God? Are you proud of what you're giving God at the moment in your time? Money? Are you giving? Are you tithing? Are you offering? Relationships? Do your relationships reflect God and the best that you could be? Are you the best husband for your wife? Are you the best wife for your husband? Are you the best boyfriend for your girlfriend, vice versa? Or are you average? Because God wants us to be the best for him. And your partner or your friend must see that, yeah, you know, he or she is different, because it's always just above average. It's always the best that they possibly can give in the relationship and in the way they speak to each other and whatever it may be. Same with commitment, you know, and your life. You know, are we giving our best for God in all our life, in all the aspects? And I can't answer that for you. You can't answer it for me. But, you know, I just felt that God really wants to tell us this morning that he always wants the best for you. Never settle for anything less than the best. If you're in a relationship at the moment and you're doubting and you don't know if it's the best, pray about it, you know. Trust God and you know, just believe and trust that he wants the best for you, always. And he always will, even if you make mistakes and you go to university or whatever. God always wants the best for us because he loves us so much. His son died on the cross, like I said, so that we can have the best and have life to the fullest, you know. More than enough. So I would just like to pray for us and maybe invite you, if you're sitting here this morning and you've believed the lie of you don't deserve the best. You know, Satan has told you, you know, because of what you've done last week or week before or last year, you don't deserve the best. And you believe that, you know, and you're actually settling for average. Or also the other part, if you until now have realized, you know, that you're not giving your best for God, you're actually just idling through life, but your light might be on dim. Maybe it's time to put them on bright. Maybe it's time to change that and start living fully for God. That's what he deserves. So I'd like to invite you, you know, if you feel that you are accepting average for your life in any aspect, maybe just stand so we can pray together. And also, if you're not giving God your best until now and you just feel on your heart this morning that now is the time to make a step up, to raise the bar, to raise the standard, to give God, the King of all kings, the precious name of Jesus, to give him better, to give him your best in any aspect, I would invite you just to stand this morning and they can just pray together and let God just change your heart and take you free from those lies from the enemy. Because that's what he wants for us. He only wants the best for us. So never doubt his love for you. Never doubt what he wants for you, because it's always the best. Because he's a loving God and a loving Father. Amen.
Thanks, Jimmy. In this week, Sonic and I was just telling her, I can't believe how blessed we are. I can't believe how much God has given us. I can't believe how he's blessing the church, how he's changing lives, there's so much of his blessing in our lives. And I told her the reason we have so much of that blessing is because we were willing to step out. We were willing to go where he led us. We were willing to give when he said give. We were willing to sacrifice when we were thinking we're giving, but we're not. We're actually just making space. We're just making space for God's blessing in our lives. And that's always this. This is where faith comes in. He says, lay down your life, and I'm going to give you life. Lose your life, and you will find your life. As Jimmy said, God wants to bless us more than you can imagine. But there's this if you lay down, if you step out, if you sacrifice, if you obey, then the floodgates of heaven open up. So so I want to pray for us. I want to encourage you to take that step of faith. Whatever the Holy Spirit might be putting His finger on, what area of your life, maybe in your time, maybe in your relationships, whatever He is speaking to you, to say, God, I'm going to take this step. Because I know You want to bless. I know You will provide. I know You will come through. But I need to take my step. Okay, can we just close our eyes for a moment? I'm going to pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You gave it all for us. All of Yourself. All of Your goodness. All of Your love. All of You. And it's available. And so God, we thank You for the invitation that's going out to each of us. That we're not settle for average. That we not settle for a little bit and not just do lights on dim, but really go for bright. God, we worship You for this. So if there's an area in your life that you feel you want to be not average anymore, is an area you want to surrender to God, would you just stand? I'm going to pray for you. Just bring that before God. And you know, sometimes it's a time commitment. Sometimes it's a TV that needs to be put off. Sometimes we need to reschedule our program and make time for God. Sometimes it's simply a decision you have to make. Father, we thank You. There's so much available to each of us. And so, Father, we pray that we would take this step by the power of Your Spirit to position ourselves in a place where all of You is truly available. As we surrender all of ourselves. And so, Father, we pray for our hearts. We pray for our minds. We pray for every distraction. We pray we're able to lay down those distractions and make time for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God, we pray that You'd raise the bar by Your Holy Spirit. In ourselves, we cannot do it. But You give us divine power to turn and to walk the road. Just pray the following prayer. Just repeat after me, just sort of a prayer of consecration, a prayer of dedication to God. Everybody can pray it along with me. Just say, Father God, I thank You that You are an awesome God. You are glorious. You are powerful. You are alive. Holy God, I want the fullness of that. I want the fullness of You. And Lord, today, I open my heart to Your Holy Spirit. God, help me Help me to say no to distractions. And help me to say yes to your voice and to your word. Holy Spirit, come and lead me onto the narrow road, the good path, destiny. I pray this in Jesus' name. Holy God, have all of me, because I want all of you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. If there's anybody that need prayer, if you want us to pray with you, you're welcome to join us here in the front. We'll be hanging around. Remember about the books and CDs and things you can just take there at the back. And so join us for some coffee and fellowship. Thank you. Have a great day.